And it's through Scripture that we even know who God is, the one that we're worshiping. We worship God through our daily Bible reading as we meditate on Scripture. So Scripture should not only be included in worship, but should drive and direct our worship. Our songs should point us to Christ. Our giving should be focused on Christ. The reading of Scripture, as I've said. So Scripture should not only drive and direct our worship, but Scripture should be necessary and central in our worship. Now the second part of the song he's talking about here is the servant of God. Now you can look at that and say, well, this is a descriptor of who Moses is. And they're right. Moses was a servant of God. But why do you think they're drawing attention to this as a descriptor? By seeing ourselves as servants of God, it keeps God in His rightful place in our lives as Lord and Savior. When we continually see ourselves rightly as a servant of God, then we keep God where He's supposed to be in our lives. But also, our relationship and worship of God invokes a change in us and enlists us as a servant in this world. In our quote from Barna earlier, we read, "Most people attend worship events expecting to experience outcomes such as comfort, predictability, professionalism, and satisfying interpersonal relationships. Very few accept divine confrontation as a hallmark of worship." When we're engaged in worshiping God, hear this part. When we are engaged in worshiping God, the Spirit of God moves in our lives by opening our mind up to the things of God and then revealing ourselves before Him. Do we like what we see when we're standing before a holy God? If not, it invokes change. As a result, being servants of God, by serving God, serving the church, and serving others, when we are changed by the Word of God, those around us benefit from that change. And the third part of this is the song of the Lamb. Now this Lamb is Jesus. Singing the praises of Jesus in all that we think, say, and do, all things in Scripture which guide our worship should lead us to Christ. Everything about our life should be focused on and lead us to Jesus. Even worldly activities, we should be looking for God being active in His creation. We can see this. So this is worship, and God deserves all the worship that we can give Him. But God has a standard for worship. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 29 through 32, it reads this. "When the Lord your God cuts off before you the nations whom you go in to dispossess, and you dispossess them and dwell in their land, take care that you be not ensnared to follow them. After they have been destroyed before you, and that you do not inquire about their gods, saying, 'How do these nations serve their gods?' That I also may do the same. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abominable thing that the Lord hates, they have done for their gods. For they even burn their sons and daughters in the fire of their gods. Everything that I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to or take away." So again, this is another proof that we are to worship God according to the Scriptures and not the world. But we are to worship God out of love and gratitude that He gave us His Son to take our place in sin. And through faith in Him, we can be forgiven.
allowed into proper relationship with the Father. This worship is the form is from the heart. Yes, we can express through our voices, our tears, our raising our hands. However, it starts from a heart out of love toward a holy God. And without proper worship from the heart, Amos chapter 5 tells us, I hate, I despise your feast, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though that you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fatted animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs, to the melody of the harps, I will not listen. God is telling us in so many words that he does not accept worship of any other God. So if we're going through the motions and things such as that, God does not hear them, as he's already said. So as you continually read Scripture, I hope you notice that God does not play games with sin, and he does not play games with worship. God does not play games with sin, and God does not play games with worship. But worship is achievable. I was reminded of a man of faith who loved Jesus but was diagnosed with cancer of the tongue. And with no other choice, the tongue must be removed, rendering him to never speak again. During pre-op, just before being wheeled into surgery, the man asked the doctor, "Are you sure that I must lose my tongue and that I will never speak again?" When the doctor confirmed, the man asked that he could sit up. And after he'd sit up, he began to sing a famous hymn. "I will praise my Maker while I have breath. And when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler power. My days of praise shall ne'er be past while life and thought and being last." This man, the last thing he wanted to come out of his mouth to be audible was praise and worship of his holy God. I remember when the song "You Are" by Colton Dixon was released. And I remember hearing it for the first time and the chills that I got when I heard him sing these words. If I had no voice, if I had no tongue, I would dance for you like the rising sun. And when that day comes and I see your face, I will shout your endless, glorious praise. When our focus is on Jesus, our hearts are turned toward the things of him, and we can see the many beautiful things in this world. Through true, authentic worship, we begin seeing in some small portion of what God sees in his own creation. When our hearts are turned, when we're really worshiping God, we find true, lasting joy in knowing that in some day we're going to be in a place where everybody and everything is going to be worshiping God. We don't have to worry about a car alarm going off and distracting us. We don't have to worry about anything happening around us because everything is going to be worshiping God. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Oh, what a day, a glorious day that's going to be when we get this bow at his feet and know that our only thing, our only focus, our only purpose is going to be worshiping God. If you've ever experienced true worship, and if you can think back at a time in which you really remember worshiping God and you finding the peace and the joy that comes from true, authentic worship, isn't that going to be what we look forward to when we get to heaven? To have that true joy, that true peace, that true lasting moment in our life that goes on forever. This is worship. This is what we see when we look in the book of Revelation, when all of the heavenly realm is open and you see everybody worshiping a glorious God because He deserves it, because He's worthy of it, because He does get it. This is our God. And we have discussed this much already. And I'm only going to skim the rest of this chapter because of time. But when reading the psalm, we can see that there's nothing man-centered about this psalm. It speaks of God's glorious nature, His magnificent power, and His unconditional love for us. Let's hear the psalm again and listen to its words. Great and amazing are Your deeds, O Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify Your name? For You alone are holy. All nations will come and worship You, for Your righteous acts have been revealed. Now the last verse that I feel that I must give attention to is verse 5. After this, I looked, and the sanctuary of the tent of witnesses in heaven was open. Whenever you read in Scripture that the heavens were opened, there's always great things that follow. On the day of Pentecost, we read in Acts 2 how the heavens were opened and many people got saved. When Stephen, who was being martyred by being stoned to death in Acts chapter 7 and chapter 8, the heavens were opened and many people got saved. In Acts chapter 9, when Paul on the road to Damascus was confronted by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the heavens were opened and many people got saved. When we see true, authentic worship being poured out before the heavens and the heavens opened up, great things happen. And what opens up the heavens? Worship of God by His people. So you may be asking, why? Why are we spending so much time on worship? First, Revelation chapter 15 is full of it. It describes it. It teaches us what heaven is going to look like when we get there. But also, in my opening, I reminded you of the chiastic structure and how chapter 15 is the pivot pin. I hope you see now that at the climax of all that is happening on earth, that God is being worshipped. Amidst all the things that are happening here on earth, that at that moment, the climax of the things that are happening, God is being worshipped. At the pivot, and before John returns back to AD 66, our glorious God is being worshipped. And with it being at the climax, we get this picture that He will forevermore be worshipped. So isn't this the coolest thing ever? Isn't this that to be able to have this experience of joy of worshiping God, having that worship experience on earth, and just imagine a continuous, distraction-free, all-consuming worship of God and the fulfillment that it brings. As I've stated, God is serious about sin, and God is serious about worship. What's your opinion of worship? I know that the songs are a thing that most churches deal with. I think we have beautiful music. I think that we have the opportunity of not having to worry about a big show without the lighting being just right and the music being too loud and this person playing too hard or too fast and all this other thing that goes on. We've got controlled music, And all we have to worry about is are we focused on Jesus during our singing? When you can take out all the distraction, and all we have to worry about is can I pronounce the word right? Am I really giving my heart just good enough in order to satisfy God? Am I giving Him all that I have in my worship? That's all we have to worry about. But I know there's a lot of things out there that can distract us. So let me ask, how do you feel about worship? Can you really worship God? Are you giving Him all that you have? There's only room for true, authentic worship when we get to heaven. So let's make it a priority. Make it a priority to do true worship in our lives and fully enjoy the life that God has blessed us with. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for the opportunity to worship, to be in a country to which we don't have to worry about who's watching us, that we don't have to worry about whether it's against the law or not. We don't have to worry about anything. We have that freedom to worship You right where we're at. In our kitchen, in the workplace, in our church buildings. I just ask, Lord, that through today, because You make it such a high priority, even in the midst of all the chaos, the fear, Your people are still worshiping. Amidst change, uncertainty, they're still worshiping. So I pray, Lord, that as we look into Your word, trust that You have formatted it in a way in which for us to follow, to glean from, I pray that our hearts are turned. And say, Lord, I'm not giving You everything. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. We have an opportunity to come together with other ever believers on a regular basis. And we can together lift our voices, lift our hearts, and become knit together. Or may we not take advantage of this opportunity to truly give You all that we have. So I pray for Your direction, I pray for Your strength, and I pray for more opportunity to continue to worship You in order that when we arrive in the heavenly realm on that day, that we are ready, that we are prepared to pour out all that we are and to receive such amazing blessings. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, if you'll stand with me. I did get distracted.